88.3 Southern FM.
On air and online via the free Community Radio Plus app. Download it now from the App Store or Google Play.
You're listening to The Space Show, and we're now going to present episode 3 of The Carmen Project. Now, The Carmen Project is an effort to set the groundwork for strategic discussions on the future of space cooperation for positive effect. William Gerstenmaier is Vice President of Mission Assurance at SpaceX. In this discussion, he describes how he worked to support the STS-1 as an engineer. STS-1, of course, being the first space shuttle flight. Here's William Gerstenmaier.
I would say my first launch of humans was the first shuttle flight one, STS-1. Bob Crippen and John Young were the crew members. I was a pretty new engineer. I had done some work in Cleveland for 3 years before that. And then I went to the Johnson Space Center. And I was at the Johnson Space Center about a year before the first flight. I don't think as a young engineer, I fully appreciated the gravity of what we were doing and how difficult we were doing. If you think about it, it was pretty amazing. Here's this space shuttle that had never flown in space before, and we're putting two people on this spacecraft that has never flown in space, and we're going to go fly them around the Earth. You know, we had spent, you know, probably 10 years preparing and training. You know, I was in the back room learning how to operate systems and understanding the propulsion systems on board the shuttle. So we were pretty focused on our job, and I don't think I really totally appreciated the complexity of what we were doing. But then the launch went, the crews on orbit. It was tremendously exciting to see all that happen. I mean, it's like any kind of celebration where, you know, you spend your whole life kind of working for something. It seems like, you know, like maybe college graduation, you know, you've spent all this time getting ready, and then the big event happens, or say maybe taking an exam, right? It's kind of like taking an exam. You prepare, and then pretty soon you're worn out. You can't prepare anymore. You go to sleep, you get up, you go take the exam, and then it's over. And then you kind of don't know right away whether you passed or failed in the exam world. In the space world, you kind of know right away. Either the launch went well or the launch didn't go well. So you get that immediate gratification that, hey, this went pretty good. And I think if you go back, probably that day I reflect back on all the activities that went, and I'm thankful for all the things that we did to get prepared. So I think I kind of reflect, and there's maybe a piece that we're there. I would tell you it's still not over, right? Because the crews are still on orbit. They still got to come back and land. So that's kind of the first step. So that first night you sleep kind of okay just because you're tired. But then like the second night, now you're a little more rested and you're thinking like, oh man, they got to come home. Are we really ready to bring them home? So then you probably don't sleep for a couple more days, right? Or a week, or however long they're on orbit, or in the case of space station, it's 6 months. And then they finally come home. And then when you finally get to see them back on the ground, and that's when it's really special. When they've been to space and they're down on the ground and you get a chance to go talk to them, and then they just share what they experienced and what they saw. You get to ask them questions. It's just an amazing activity. So I can't think of a better endeavor of getting a chance to work with this group of astronauts that are just phenomenal human beings, as well as the engineers on the ground. Just a tremendous achievement. So there's not a simple answer of what it's like for that first night's sleep, but it's pretty rewarding business to be in. There's tremendous highs, and then as I described to you earlier, there's also tremendous lows, but it is a great business to be
in. William Gerstenmaier, formerly of NASA and then of SpaceX. Now, Catherine Bennell, at the time this was recorded, was Capability, Robotics and Automation Lead at the Australian Space Agency in Adelaide. And when she was presented with this quote, "We set out to explore the moon and instead we discovered the Earth," Catherine gave this response.
Yeah, we set out to explore the moon and instead discovered the Earth. I think when we set out to explore the moon, It was seen as something almost unattainable. My understanding is when that objective was set, we didn't even know if it was possible. And so to do an endeavor like that, that requires a huge amount of challenges to be overcome. It requires incredible amount of teamwork and a lot of things to go right and a lot of cultural shift of thought. And when it's achieved, ultimately, after all the sacrifice in both effort and lives, and that achievement meaning something, it was a concrete step for humanity. It's something that is an achievement that would be remembered if memory goes so far into thousands of years, because it's something that is a tangible step forward in what it means to be human, to be able to go to another world in our solar system, that being the moon. And so when humanity takes a step forward like that, it's impossible to not reflect on what the world's like. And what the world was like back then was in a bit of a crisis, of course, in that era. And so a lot of the astronauts had this so-called overview effect where they look back at the Earth and all of a sudden it looked fragile and all of the Earth's problems seemed minimized. And they conveyed that as best they could to the public. So as part of that, I think on Earth we discovered new perspectives about Earth, about ourselves, in creating that moonshot. And the technology that was developed in the course of that, of discovering the moon, was then also used to learn even more about the Earth. You know, we started having Earth observation for science and Earth observation for helping eventually industry and all sorts of different applications, which helps us to learn more about the Earth more literally than figuratively.
The thoughts of Catherine Bennell from the Australian Space Agency. Jean-Jacques Dordain was the former Director General of the European Space Agency, and he responds to the question, how do you ensure a common ground in space?
I think that the future of humankind on planet Earth does not depend on one or two or three. It depends on 7 billion of people. And this is the reason why I think that all these movement, which is called new space, with the arrival of new actors and especially private actors, is very important. Because during several decades, space was mostly a top-down activity ruled and financed by governments, which was okay because we have developed all the technologies during that time. But now it's time to have another movement, which is much more a bottom-up movement with more and more people considering space as an important part of the future of humans on planet Earth. And that this is very good news, because this is by combining the top-down approach and the bottom-up approach that we have a chance. It will take time, but we have a chance to make all humans becoming actors, actors of their future. And maybe not their future, but at least the future of the following generations.
In 2019, a global collaboration of more than 200 scientists obtained the first image of a supermassive black hole. Sarah, a member of the Event Horizon team, was one of them at the University of Amsterdam.
The heavy elements in our blood, everything that we need to be alive on Earth, had to come from the explosions of stars and the formation of black holes, right? I've worked modeling this black hole since I was a student, so I feel, you know, very attached to it. I dream about science. I dream about math sometimes. I try to imagine, you know, what it would be like if I could somehow fly there. How would it really look? We're part of the universe that created these things. We have the consciousness to understand them. we get to the point where we can start to explore distant objects and try to understand this weird multi-dimensional space that we live in. This space-time is almost like a fabric, and so this fabric you can think of is falling into the hole at the same speed of light. So light itself is like a fish trying to swim upstream. It can't get out. It's a personal thing to be able to understand them as well, I think. And it's also the fact that we're related to them. We're connected. When I realized that I was one of the first group of humans ever to see a black hole, right? Because we were this limited team of like hundreds of people. It's not often in life that you feel unique.
And that was Sarah Markov, the woman who stares at black holes. Well, we're going to finish out the space show with a little bit of music here from a group called Three Sigma, and this is Canto Tormenta.